says they walk over to this man, and his name was Simeon. I want to make sure you're following me. If you're following me, say Simeon.
Simeon.
And then Simeon takes the baby up, and watch what happens. As he looks at baby Jesus, he doesn't say, "Wow, what a beautiful baby." He doesn't say, "Man, this baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes." But he says in verse number 29 and 30, look back. He said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now, why did Simeon say that? This is why. Because Simeon saw Christmas as the big picture. He didn't just see that a baby was born, but he saw through the totality of it what it means for Christmas. When we have Christmas time, what is the meaning of Christmas? What is the meaning of little baby Jesus being born on earth, growing up and dying and resurrected and going back to heaven? What is the big picture of Christmas this morning? And what did Simeon see? Now watch this. Simeon saw the historical account of Christmas. He saw what it meant then. But he saw what it would mean in the future. And he saw the whole picture. He saw the background of Christmas. He saw what Christmas was. And he saw what Christmas would mean to us now. And he said, "Lord, I can now die. Why? Because I have seen what Christmas is all about." So this morning, real quick, how do we know what Christmas is really about? I want us to review those things this morning from the Bible about baby Jesus coming to earth and what we've done this morning. If you're still with me today, say amen. Number one, if you'll look in your bulletin, if you'd like to, you don't have to, if you'd like to, I want to say this. To help us understand the big picture of Christmas, number one, first of all, we got to realize the background of Christmas. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. Most people believe that Christmas started on the day we celebrate, December 25th, but the reality is Christmas did not start when Jesus was born. Christmas had been in the makings for a long, long time. What do you mean, Brother Dewey? Here's what I mean. If you will look at, first of all, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. He appears to Mary. Now, we're in Luke chapter 2. If you'll flip over with me to chapter number 1, I want you to look at what happens here. We'll talk about the background of Christmas and what happened prior to Christmas. Look in verse number 26 with me. The Bible tells us this. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now look down in verse number 30 with me. "And the angel said unto her," what did he say? "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name," say it with me, "Jesus." So see, when you understand what Christmas is really about, the background of it, God is in heaven and he looks over to the angel Gabriel. He says, "Hey Gabriel, you need to go down there to Mary and tell her it's time. It is time for baby Jesus to come into the earth." And Gabriel goes down to the earth. He appears to Mary and says, "Mary, you are going to be the mother of God. You are going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And you will be the one," watch this, "that brings God into the world." And it started when the angel appeared to Mary. But then look at the second thing that happened before Jesus was born. Joseph travels to Bethlehem. Look at chapter 2 with me. Luke chapter 2. I want you to look here with me what the Bible says. Not only did the angel appear to Mary, but Joseph travels to Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, verse number 4, the Bible says this. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Why? Because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Why did he go? To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, why is this so important? Look at me real quick. Not only did the angel come out and say, "Mary, you're going to bring God into the world," before he was born, but then the Bible says that Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem. Why? Because Joseph had to go pay his taxes. But why is this important? This is why this is important. It's kind of like trying to get a haircut and you fall out of bed. You got to have a schedule like 6 months ahead of time. Amen? What's this? I'm not kidding. It's not bad. It's a great thing. If you have all these people that want haircuts, you know, there's very few people that have heads like this. Amen? Most people have beautiful hair. They're covered. And so well, think about this. If you want a haircut, you got to plan ahead of time. I'm going to come and make you an appointment and show them. What's this? Jesus had an appointment with her. He had an appointment with her. When he would come down, and before he was ever born, the angel told Mary, "You need to get ready." And Joseph had to travel to want to say amen. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 says this. It says that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? Before God ever created, you ready for this? One truth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Sat down in a staff meeting, if you can. And they had a meeting and they talked and said, hey, man is going to become a sinner. And as he sins, we have to have a way to buy him back, to pardon him, to atone his sin. How's it going to happen? And the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, before God ever created anything, then it was put in motion that Jesus would come to earth. He would become a man. He would die for us on the cross for our sins. And then 40 days later, he would resurrect. He would go back to heaven after the resurrection. And hey, understand this morning, why did the angel have to come to Mary? Why did Joseph have to go to Bethlehem? Because he was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And it was God's timing to come to earth. And when Christmas, when you think about Christmas, understand that a whole lot went into Jesus coming to our earth. If you're still with me, say, move on. Number one, the background of Christmas. Number two, the birth of Christmas. I want you to pay attention right here. The birth of Christmas, what do you mean, Brother Toby? That Bethlehem morning when baby Jesus was born, what happened? When Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, what really happened? Hey, what happened on this earth when baby Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger there in the inn? What happened that morning? And first of all, the first thing that happened is it brought immediate change. What do you mean it brought immediate change? I want you to listen to these verses. I quote them in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. It says this. For unto us a child is born, that's Jesus. Unto us a son is given, that's Jesus. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, the way the world is ruled. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Now watch this. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, the first thing that happened is there was immediate change. What do you mean, Brother Joy? When the baby was born, there was immediate change. Now, hey, how many of you in here remember in your life when you had a child? Hold on. When your wife had a child. I said that wrong. You remember how much change that brought? Waking up in the middle of the night, screaming and hollering. Get hungry, you feed him, and in 30 minutes, crying again. Yeah. Amen. Changes diapers, still crying. Not sure what's wrong, wants to be picked up and huddled and patted. You just can't. And you remember when the baby, now watch this. A baby changes a family, does it not?
Yeah.
But Jesus changed the world. Right. Did you say, but Joey, how? Okay. Because Jesus ushered in. What do you mean by the kingdom? Here's what I mean. You see, the kingdom of God is the rule of God in the heart of man. And until Jesus came to the earth, you remember he was standing around a group of people that said, hey, Jesus, when is the kingdom of God coming? He says, hey, the kingdom of God has come to you. The kingdom of God is within you. And understand this morning, when Jesus came to the earth, he made it possible for God to rule in the heart of man. And hey, today, why did Jesus bring change? Because Jesus brought change to mankind like would never be seen before. And because Jesus died, because he rose from the dead, because he's alive, we can be saved today. We can be regenerated today. And God, his kingdom, can rule in our hearts today. And hey, Jesus brought change. Somebody say amen. Amen. But don't you stay with me. 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 Let it be. Immediate opposition. You hear what I just said? Immediate opposition. What do you mean? I want you this morning to look at Matthew chapter 2. We're in Luke. I want you to flip over to Matthew chapter 2. Now Luke, the book before it is Mark. The one before that is Matthew. Would you go to Matthew chapter 2? Don't you see this? What do you mean, Mother Joey? When Jesus came, he brought change, the kingdom of God within man. But he brought opposition. I want to say this morning. If you're there this morning, Matthew 2, will you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to look at it before I read it. Jesus Christ this morning is either the greatest gift to your life you've ever had, or he's the greatest opposition to your life. One of the two. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are coming to worship him. Now, four reapers, three, would you look at him? What just happened there? Those boys just showed up and said, hey, Christmas has come. Jesus has come. The king of the Jews is on the earth. We know that he's here. His star is in the east. We want to know where he is because we want to worship him. But look at verse 3, what happens? And the Bible says in verse number 3, when Herod heard, the king heard these things, he was what? And all Jerusalem with him. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. Jesus brought immediate change to those that would receive and believe on him, but he also brought immediate opposition to those who would be against him on this earth. You see, Herod wasn't excited about baby Jesus. Why? Because Herod had his own plans. The all Jerusalem, what does that mean? The ruling Jews, they weren't excited about Jesus. Why? Because they had what they wanted to do with their life. They had their ideas. They had their thoughts. They had their philosophies. They wanted to do what they wanted to do for themselves. And hey, when Jesus came to the earth, not only did he bring change, but he brought opposition. Because I want to say this morning, today Jesus Christ, he is either the way, the truth, and the life to you. He's the only way to live, or he is the greatest threat to your plans, your dreams, your ambitions, your desires, what you want to do in this world. He is either the avenue by which you live life, or he is either the opposition that you face on a daily basis. If I'm right about it, Stephen. So number one this morning, the background of Christmas. It didn't start in that manger. It started way back there. The birth of Christmas, when Jesus came, he brought change, he brought opposition. But what happened further this morning? The basis of Christmas. The basis of Christmas, or the base of Christmas, the purpose of Christmas. What was the purpose of Jesus being born that day? When you think of that baby, what was the base of his birth this morning? You said, Richard, this morning, what is the purpose of Christmas? Now, in a child's mind, Christmas is about how many presents I can give. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. Kids like presents. And I tell you what I've learned. If I don't spend my money on my kids, I'll spend it on myself. Amen? The Christmas is about so much more than presents. Won't you listen to me? Christmas is about a whole lot more than Bethlehem. Many times as Christians, we're guilty of stopping at the manger. And I want to say this. The manger was just the beginning. It was just the start. What do you mean, Rachel? Here's what I mean. We're getting ready to close our time with the Word of God. I want you to go over there to Matthew chapter 1. Won't you go back to Matthew chapter 1? There's two books before Luke. Matthew chapter 1. I want you to say this. Matthew here is giving a general overview, if I can, of why Jesus came. What is the purpose of what we're doing? What is the purpose of today and tomorrow? What is the purpose of it? The first purpose, I want you to see this. Look with me, if you will, in verse 1. The Bible says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a what? And they shall call his name, watch this, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, will you say the next phrase with me? God with us. Number one. What is the purpose of Christmas? He brought God to us. What do you mean, Lord? Here's what I mean. The Bible says, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. What does that mean? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why did Jesus come and live on earth for 33 years? What was the purpose of his life? You ready for this? To show us what God is like. And some of us this morning, we have such a messed up view of God. Some of us actually think that God is a fireman. Can I tell you, God's not a fireman. He's over the fire department. That's just a little part of it. He does keep us out of hell. Amen? Amen. And I'm thankful for that. But Jesus is not somebody that just to fix my boo-boos when I need him or run and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Samuel. What a beautiful name. For he shall save his people. Will you say the last phrase with me? From their sins. Do you know this point? When Jesus Christ was born, he was born for the purpose of dying. For my sin and your sin. And at Christmas time, that is the greatest gift.
That's right.
Do you know today is the greatest gift for a Christian? That my sins, they are gone. You never been remembered again? How many of you ever done something wrong? Hey, watch me. If you know Jesus, that's under the floor. If you don't know Jesus, it's weighing heavy on your heart. And you got guilt in your life today because you know you're separated from God because of your sin. And the truth of the matter is, Super Joy, how do I know if that's true or not? Listen to this. You go to the Bible. I'm a Christian. Are you really? Go to the Bible. Is the law within, Christ within, living out in your life? Are you not Christ in this world? You Christ? Do you know Christ? Have you received Him? Have you believed on Him? Have you turned from your own way of living to the Lord Jesus Christ? And now His life is becoming your life on this earth? Or are you living your life and you just going to Him when you need something? You see, Jesus came to die for our sins. He came to be our Savior. And I want you to, if you were here Wednesday night, I want you to take your boards. Jimmy mentioned this Wednesday night, and I tell you, this has been a blessing to my heart. And I want you to look on the back of your bulletin with me this morning. I want us to look at this poem together. I'm going to read it, and I want you to follow along if you can. Why is this so important, everybody? This is why. Because we've got to see Christmas for what it really is. And look what the poem says. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go. But she followed him to Calvary at the cross one dark and dreadful day, and there the lamb that Mary had washed all her sin. You know this morning? That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about God coming to be with us, but it's about Jesus coming to die for my sin. Why is this important? This morning, we get ready to close our service and have communion. We're going to do two things. Now, some of you this morning know what I'm getting ready to say, but I want you to pay close attention so our people who've never been a part of it will think it's good to you too. Amen? In just a moment, we're going to take a little piece of bread and we're going to pass that bread around. I want you to hang on to that bread. I'm going to give you a passage to read while our men are is distributing that items. Then when we get done, we're going to take that weight and we're going to eat it. Why? Because as we do it, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, this do it in remembrance of me. Two times. Wow. Jesus said, when you do this in remembrance of me. We want to reflect back. When Jesus was born, he came to die for our world. Then after that, we have a little cup of juice. No, it's not bourbon or anything. It's just grape juice from Walmart, okay? It's even the Great Value brand. I won't call it, okay? But you hang on to that. Why? Because after we do that, we read passages and we reflect upon our Lord dying on the cross and giving his blood for our sins, we will reflect upon the real reason that Jesus came was to die so that we could be saved from our sins. But before we do this, Ms. Kim, I'm going to ask you to be ready back there. Before we do this, in 1 Corinthians 11:28, Paul gave his admonition. He was talking about the Lord's Supper, the communion, the bread, and the juice. And he was talking about this, and he said, before you take a juice, number one, you make sure that you're a believer. You need to know that you turn from your sin, you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know that you know that you know that you are saved. You're following Savior. But not only that, as a Christian, Paul said, you better examine yourself. Why, Brother Joey? Why should I examine myself? Why should I look at my own heart? This is why. Because as a Christian, if you have sin in your heart,
Paul said, you are asking for damnation on yourself. Why? Because you are taking what represents our Lord's life on the cross, and you are treading it under your feet, making it like it's a light thing while you have sin in your heart. And Paul said, before you come to the table, before you partake of communion, you better examine your own heart and make sure that you're right with God in your heart. And don't bring damnation on your own soul. If it's simple, say amen.
Amen.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a time of prayer this morning. We're going to have a time of prayer this morning. What the church has historically called.